This is Engaging the Community, a monthly conversation with the president of Missouri State University, Cliff Smart. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Scott.
Last month, President Donald Trump signed an executive order that temporarily bans travelers from seven majority Muslim countries and all refugees. It not only had implications internationally, but locally. I'll note that a federal appeals court on February 9th declined to overturn a lower court's order suspending the ban. But I wanted to talk to you about a memo you sent out stating that of MSU's 1,700 international students, nine are from the seven countries included in the order. You said none of those students were stranded in airports or barred from entry, so they were all in Springfield at
Correct.
The time? What were those first hours or days like for the school in communicating with those nine students?
So we immediately wanted to have a face-to-face meeting with each of the students. Mm-hmm. To make sure they understood the ramifications for this, particularly in terms of travel. We wanted to account for them to make sure that they were here and weren't stranded somewhere, and then make sure that they knew how to deal with this. You know, some are graduating soon, and frankly, we're extremely disappointed that family members won't be able to travel here to see that ceremony. All have had extraordinarily good experiences in Springfield and at Missouri State University. And then, of course, a part of that was just reaffirming to them that we value them and we want them here and we want them to complete their education and we want them to go off and be ambassadors for Missouri State University back in their home countries when they return.
During this time, what's the message to the entire university community?
I think it's twofold, and I gave part of this message. It just happened to be that I was attending the Chinese New Year festival and show and banquet right after all of this came about. And my message to that group of 400-plus, mostly international students with another 100 of our faculty, staff, and community supporters was this. One is that all of our international students are valued. We want international students here. They make us better. They bring different perspective to conversations in class. They help make our Missouri students and our Springfield students and our small town students, when they interact with people from different backgrounds, cultures, religions, it opens their minds and it lets them think about things differently. And that's a good thing. And so it's twofold. It's our international students are valued and we support you. And the second piece of that is that we have a global mission. We have a campus in China. We have 1,700 international students here from 85 countries, and the interaction we see is incredible. One of our faculty members told me about an experience in a political science class where he had an Iranian Kurdish student and an Iraqi war veteran, and through the course of their interaction in the class, they became good friends. That's the kind of thing that happens. That's life-changing. And so we wanted to reiterate that nothing about this executive order, and I haven't taken a position on it, whether it's justified or not, neither is the university, but nothing about it changes our focus on the value of our international students, nor on the importance of universities having a global mission. You know, the American Council on Education put out a letter to the Homeland Security Secretary that we have endorsed that says in part, international exchange is a core value and strength of American higher education. We still believe that.
You mentioned communicating with those students, the mission of the university. What about recruitment? What about retention? Many universities cater to international students, some more than others. How would you characterize the position this puts higher education in?
I think there are going to be more challenges for all of us in recruiting students from around the world, or at least in particular parts of the world. I think, you know, in the Muslim world, which is about 2 billion people or a quarter of the world, I think there will be challenges on that. We had a faculty member whose focus is on the Kurdish people in Iraq and Iran, and he's on sabbatical this semester. And as a part of that, he's spending time over there. Literally said he was in Iraq, met with a room full of students that all speak English that were so excited about the possibility of coming to the United States and specifically Missouri State University to study. And then this came about, and it's now unlikely that any of those students come here. And that's our loss. It's our loss as a country, and it's our loss as a university. I'll go back to another piece of the statement by the American Council on Education. It says, "Our nation's welcoming stance to scholars and scientists has benefited the U.S. through goodwill and a long history of scientific and technological advances that have been essential to the economic growth our country has experienced from decades. And when they return home, they are ambassadors for American values, democracy, and the free market." That's what we've seen here. These students that want to come here love our country, believe in democracy, and they go home and they talk about what an incredible learning experience they had at our university, how they were welcomed into our community, and what an incredible place the United States of America is. I'd just hate for us to give that up.
The immigration policy of the Trump administration has prompted calls for sanctuary campuses to offer protections for undocumented students, staff, and family members facing the threat of deportation. Is there a sentiment that's resonating here at MSU or across the state in your observations regarding sanctuary campuses?
There are many people that are certainly sympathetic to the plight of refugees and immigrants that are in our city. But I don't think that's a viable alternative for universities in Missouri. Essentially, there are already statutory prohibitions to much of that kind of positioning among our cities, for example. And we recognize we're a part of government. We're a governmental entity. I just don't think that's a viable alternative. Our Student Government Association debated a resolution this last week and declined to support a resolution in that regard, and I give them credit for that. And doesn't mean we're not sympathetic to people. Doesn't mean that anything I said earlier is not true. It's just we have to function within the rules of a state university in Missouri, and that's probably not a viable option or something I would support.
So the messaging, at least to those in charge of these laws and these orders, has to come a different route.
It does. And you know, Dr. Baker, who is in charge of our international programs, and I are going to be in Washington, D.C. next month. And we're going to be having conversations with our elected representatives about the importance of making sure international students can continue to get visas to study in our university and in others, and the importance of internationalization and globalization, and how we need to while we certainly need to make sure that terrorists aren't coming into the United States hiding out as refugees. And while we certainly need to protect our country and be vigilant of that, we've got to do it in a manner that also doesn't wreck our economy and destroy our reputation in the world. And I think we can do both. I really believe we can.
President Cliff Smart, thanks for joining us on Engaging the Community.
Thanks, Scott.